I've had an animal intuitive friend, Amelia Kincaid, really convinced me of that. Because the first time I met her in an elevator at a ASPCA conference, and she said she talks to animals, an animal intuitive, I thought, lady, you're insane, but you're a nice lady, so we'll be friends. But twice, animals have disappeared, our pets. Once she was in California, and the other time in Africa teaching, and she emailed me, and I found the pets, the next day. That blew my mind. But I remember, well, one of my comments is a foreword to one of our books because I said, you cannot deny what this woman has done. When she says, I can see through the animal's eyes and describes my whole house and tells me where the creature is, I go and get it. Yeah. And but again, if people want to thrive, you have to quiet your mind. See, you're an ugly duckling. Your mother tells you you're a pain in the butt, you're ugly, I don't want you, get the hell out of here. And you do. And one day you're sitting on a pond and you see a bunch of swans and you wish you were a swan. And you look down in the water and you realize, I am a swan. Now, that swan that the mother threw out because it didn't look like a duck, that kid didn't walk away saying, my mother's a son of a bitch. Look what she said to me, how she treated me. And then you spend your whole life resenting and bitter, and seek revenge. What's his name? In East of Eden, John Steinbeck. We all experience rejection. With rejection comes a desire for revenge. With revenge, guilt, and there's the story of mankind. What happens to most of the terrorists? They end up either killing themselves, committing suicide after they kill others, or being killed by someone. So it's that pattern. But when it isn't about revenge, when it's about love, then what a difference. See, then the pond is still. That's your mind. Joseph Campbell talked in a different way about the same theme. He said, a tiger died giving birth, chasing some goats. What do the goats do? That's why animals are such wonderful teachers. They don't say, let's go kill that little baby because the mother was going to eat us. They say, no, let's raise it. Don't let it die. Well, the tiger grows up thinking he's a goat. He's eating grass and vegetables and going, ding. Campbell has a sense of humor. And then another tiger shows up one day chasing the goats and sees him and says, what the hell are you doing here? And he goes, I'm a goat too. He says, no, you're not, you dumbbell. Come with me. And he takes him and on the way offers him a piece of meat. And the tiger says, no, I'm a vegetarian. But he gets him to the pond and he says, look, you look like me. You're a tiger, not a goat. And see, Campbell talks about it as meditation. But again, we're both talking about quieting the mind, the still pond. Then you will see your truth. Okay. And one more story. A young man who developed AIDS, and I got in touch, well, he got in touch with me years ago to help him survive. One day, phone call, Dr. Siegel, I'm going to commit suicide. He was sexually abused by his parents, and they used him, and so did their friends. It was a horrible story. He said, I'm going to commit suicide. I said, Tony, just a minute. I know mafia people in New York, because I grew up there, will get you a gun, go kill your parents. That's what the other kids are doing. I never forget his answer. No. Why not? I never want to be like them. Say, you want to thrive? Yeah. Start your life. Then I believe in angels too, because later in the day, I got a call from Tony, Dr. Siegel. I said, Tony, you okay? Yeah. What happened? I went down to the subway to jump in front of the A train, and it didn't come. It wasn't on time. I don't know what happened. But I'm standing there with nothing to do, and I saw the suicide hotline number, so I called it. And they came and rescued me and taught me about love. Yeah. But his sentence, see, why don't we kill your parents? No, I never want to be like them. How many people could say that? One of our kids is in the law enforcement. He said, you shouldn't tell, he's in the FBI, because I wear an FBI hat that I bought when he was graduating from the academy. And I interact with people too. You're a female body investigator. You're a full-blooded Italian, because that's FBI, They don't worry about you being an FBI agent. He said, you can get shot someday. No, everybody thinks, I'm a little nuts and it's a sense of humor. But he was at some classes when he said, between the classes, I went out for a walk, saw a turtle on the pavement. I picked it up, spent a half an hour, found a pond and released it. Now, if you're going to get into the FBI Academy, you have to answer this question. Are you capable of killing someone? When I heard that at his graduation, I thought, wow, who wants to hear that about their child? But he answered yes. Now, do I worry about him doing it for the wrong reasons? No. He might do something to save your life, but he's not going to go out and then for revenge, kill somebody or use the weapon for the wrong reasons. And I think that's the part. If we want to thrive, we need to grow up with love. Love ourselves, love our bodies, love our lives. And we should repeat that every morning. I go through a lot of mantras with my wife because she's had multiple sclerosis for God knows how long, like 50 years or so. So again, it taught me as a doctor, the neurologist doesn't know the future either, in terms of what he's going to tell me that will happen to my wife. But every morning when we exercise, I like to go through singing spiritual songs, or inspiring songs, saying mantras, and repeating positive things. Because when you think about helping others, there are times I will make mistakes. I said unto in one of the prayers. She said, no, Bernie, it's into, And I know, therefore, she's repeating it in her head. So it's helping her too. And I would say to create that kind of environment in your home, to bring love in and laughter, because you really create a family when you can laugh together, whether it's in the operating room with patients and medical staff. When we, when I would do something silly, which was not infrequent, it got everybody to laugh. You can't be afraid when you're laughing. And we were all family, caring about each other. And when they knew that the love was there too, that you cared about them as a person. See, that's the part that, again, bothers me. A medical ad. See, you're talking about thriving. See, this is helping from a drug company. I was depressed, unable to cope. I went to see my physician. He prescribed the antidepressant. I feel better now. I wrote to the company and to the journal. I said, excuse me, I've had a terrible event in my life. I go to my doctor and I get a pill. Can you put in a line that says, sit down, tell me why you're feeling depressed, what's happening in your life now? Then you could say, here's a pill that'll help you. And they canceled the ad. But see, when you train that way, you treat the result, not the cause. So you don't help heal lives. You treat a disease, and that doesn't really, yes, it can make somebody more comfortable, but it doesn't really cure the problem. And that's why I said, I began to learn what's going on in your life. A loved one dies, you lose your job, you get a divorce. The humor, because I met somebody who's working with seniors at a assisted living facility, and one of their drivers, drives the van, said to me that she's getting a divorce, and my CDs were helping her to meditate and relax and get through it. And I told her a story. I said, I know a woman who learned she had breast cancer and is also getting a divorce. See, what is she going to do, go home depressed now? No. She wrote and said, yes, I had a mastectomy and I got a divorce. I gave up a tit and an ass. Now, that's a survivor, see? Somebody else wrote, I'm trying to remember the title of the poem. It had to do with the mastectomy, but it started out with seeing myself in the mirror. It's not as though I lost my breasts. The surgery, they seemed to have been erased or painted over. That was one woman. But she also saw a new person, too. But the woman who wrote about a bilateral mastectomy with a sense of humor is ended with, I've got that off my chest, say, all the problems that went with it. And my opportunity to be a waitress at Hooters is definitely foiled. I mean, all these crazy lines, but that's a survivor. She turned a bilateral mastectomy into something that helps so many women when I read it to them. Right? And that's, if people, again, want to thrive, that's what they have to go out and do. And it takes work. You know, I always say life is a labor pain. But again, to get back to patients, one woman compared 9 months of pregnancy to 12 months of chemotherapy and radiation. See, 9 or 12 months seems like a long time. I watch my body change. Tired, I sit staring out at life. I live within my mind. Books and music transport me beyond my body. 9 months pass, I give birth to my child. All the discomfort and pain is now worthwhile. 12 months pass, I give birth to myself. All the discomfort and pain is now justified. So make life a labor pain. Realize it is a school, and you're going to have to pass the test. And have faith in yourself. God loves you. I always say, and so do I. But it's built into us to survive. But if you don't give your body that message, then it doesn't turn on the survival mechanisms. See, you cut your finger, you don't bleed to death. I mean, you don't panic and say, oh, what am I going to do? You let nature take its course, and it heals. And we want all the cells in our body to get that message. I want you to heal. I want you to enjoy your life. And the people who enjoy their lives and feel younger also end up living longer. I mean, there are so many studies. You know, when you say to 80-year-olds, how old do you feel? The younger they answered, the longer they lived. I work with seniors in the same way, and I would say to anybody listening to this, draw yourself today and 25 years ago. The other day at this senior assisted living facility, I asked them to draw pictures. I couldn't believe it. Everybody handed me the same picture. A big head, you know, happy with hair 25 years ago, less hair and unhappy today, and just stick figures. And I think that they don't feel they are anybody anymore. Okay? The man who taught me a lot was a resident in a nursing home who drew one picture, a smiling face. I said, Bill, I asked for two pictures. He said, look what I wrote on the side of the page. That's me then, that's me now. That nursing home has a memorial for him, the only resident they have ever done that for. But you see, he did something real with his life. He walked the halls of the nursing home helping other people, relationships. Well, live to be 100, be active, eat a healthy diet, and have relationships. Yeah. And the relationships can be with plants, because these are studies that are done in nursing homes. You're responsible for the plant, with decorating your room. Who lived longer? You're responsible. Go home to a house with a dog after a heart attack. 6% of the people died, no dog. 26% died if there was no dog in the house in 12 months. And closer to 6% died if there was a dog in the house. See, again, our chemistry has changed when we pet creatures. Bonding hormones and all kinds of things. So, you know, your whole life is a part of thriving. And it's not about not dying, because that's no fun, trying not to die, but living. Another test question. You have 15 minutes to live, what would you do? I was listening to a group of people. Most, I'll call the people I love and blah, 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 blah. One man said, I play golf. I thought, what is wrong with you? You're going to play golf? And one of our sons said, "I buy a quart of chocolate ice cream and eat it." I said, "Hey, you're okay. I don't have to worry about you." Then the golfer said, "Excuse me, what if golf is my chocolate ice cream?" And then I admired him more than all the people who are on the phone calling their loved ones. You know, it's like they're doing it out of guilt many times, not really out of love. And I'd say to people, go live your chocolate ice cream. If you lose track of time, that is when you're truly thriving. That is the healthiest state in the world. I mean that because I learned that doing two things, operating on people and painting portraits. When I had an injury that made it practically impossible to stand, I realized I could paint standing. You know, I'd start to paint, and then I'd realize you're standing up and you've been there 2 hours. In the operating room, also 3 or 4 hours, I'd be taking care of a patient. And I realized it's when I'm creating and doing for others, my chemistry is totally different, and the pain doesn't exist anymore. So find what makes you lose track of time. And it can be anything. I mean, people have to understand it. As long as it's creating, you know, working in the garden, being with grandchildren, whatever it is, it will make an enormous difference. And last, maybe but not least, our life's memories are stored up in our body. Alice Miller said many years ago in one of her books, our childhood is stored up in our bodies. It's not just our childhood. And though we can repress it and, you know, treat it with medication, etc., someday the body will present its bill, for it is as incorruptible as a child who, while still whole in spirit, will accept no compromises, and it will not stop tormenting us until we stop evading the truth. And that's part of what I learned too, to say to people, what does a disease feel like? What are you experiencing? Pressure. That was her pain. What's the pressure in your life? My marriage. Her pain went away. She went home to straighten out her marriage. See? What's draining you? What's confusing you? It was amazing how these words popped out of people, and they'd look at me and say, thank you. Because they realized those were the things that were adding to their illness. And when people come up with a positive word, wake up call, blessing, new beginning, yeah, keep it up. You know, because they have let their mortality become their, well, the curse become their blessing, let's put it that way. The charcoal becomes a diamond. And I think those are the important things that people need to realize. Is it easy? No. I mean, last night, for instance, a tree fell down, high winds, we're without power. You know, and I keep feeling God has given me another test. You know, I mean, every day there's a new test. But when you can say, what am I to learn from this experience? Then good things happen. And I'd say people need to have the courage to do that of themselves rather than I'm right, you're wrong. Learn to listen. Helen Keller taught me that. She said, deafness is darker by far than blindness. Listen to people. They will hear themselves, and you'll get credit for doing something wonderful for them. I've learned that. People have said to me, thank you for that fantastic conversation. It's the greatest conversation I've ever had with anyone. And I never said a word in 1 hour and 20 minutes, except for, yes, right, yeah. But, you know, it's hard to listen and not tell everybody, this is what you should do, go do that. I used to test that with our kids. When I gave them advice, they didn't thank me. But when I listened to them, they said, oh, you're a big help. Because then they knew what they needed to do versus my telling them, go here, do this, read that. No, they weren't ready.
Thank you so much for just this stream of
Right.
abundant, empowering knowledge and
Thank you.
stories
It's quiet in here now.
that
Good,
No,
good.
I could listen to you for hours, and I'm sure the audience could as well, but we are coming close to a wrap here. I That was probably the most comprehensive interview I've had, and I'm
Thank you.
grateful for your generosity and your time and your energy. If there's anything you would like
Here,
to
let me
add...
add one more mystical thing that I would share with you. Years ago, again, before I was a believer in a lot of things I'm telling you, a physician friend was running a weekend workshop, and he said, we'll do some guided imagery. You know, we'll close our eyes and picture things. And I thought, like my animal intuitive, oh, this is nuts. I came here to learn something, you know, to help patients, not close my eyes. But he was looking down at the audience, and I knew he was looking at me because I'm looking at him. So I closed my eyes so he'd think I'm doing it. I'm an artist. And when I closed my eyes, the images were incredible. I'm a visual person. And I met an inner guide. This is somebody who's supposed to help you on your path through life. Hello, my name is George. That didn't impress me. I was looking for somebody, you know, a Moses or a Jesus or somebody. Hey, I'm a doctor. George. He had gown on, a funny little cap on his head. I mean, I thought he's dressed kind of funny, a big beard. But hey, okay, so we talked. A year or so later, I'm giving one of my lectures. I have an outline, and I realize you're not following your outline. You haven't said anything on that. You're just talking the way I am to you. And I thought, okay, so I'll do the talking. Go ahead. I mean, I felt like I was being used, you know, like by a higher force of consciousness. And when I was done, people came up and said, I heard you before, that was better than usual. I said, thank you, I agree with you. Then a woman came up and said, standing in front of you for the entire lecture was a man. So I drew his picture for you, and it was George. It just blew my mind. But from then on, it's like you don't have to prepare. You know, you have your spirit. He'll talk. You're like the television screen, if you know what I mean. You tune to the right program, and you present it to the world. And then another year or two later, at the same place, which is a spiritual center in Connecticut, I spoke at a funeral, and a mystic named Alga Warl came up to me, who was a friend of mine, and she said, Bernie, are you Jewish? I said, why are you asking? Because I spoke at a Christian funeral? She said, no, there's a man standing next to you. And she described George again. Then in Stop and Shop, that ought to prove it, a lady is talking, oh, Dr. Siegel, I said, hey, I like to have fun at Stop and Shop. I always carry on and do crazy things, so don't call my name out. Give me another name. What do you think she named me in 10 seconds?
George.
George. She said, okay, George. You know, that's what blows my mind. It makes me a believer. How do you pick that name out of all the male names available in the world? George. And that's no accident. And I think we all have that guide with us. It's a part of us. And to be open to it and listen to it and don't think all the time. I really feel that's, I say, why we go to sleep, see, is to turn off your mind and let your body, your consciousness speak to you. Because I could go on forever, but again, people will be told that they have cancer in a dream. I've been told I didn't have it in a dream when everybody was worried because I had a certain symptom. And in a dream, I was told by cancer patients in the support group, you don't have cancer, you're not here because you have cancer. And I woke up knowing I didn't, which was true. So when the mind is quiet, it's very similar to the still pond. Then you can see your truth in front of you. And when you get to heaven, remember this, because you want to thrive and think about why you're entitled to thrive. The admission line, I mean, I know these things because I'm on the board of directors of heaven as a consultant, see? And I found it fascinating one day to watch the admission line. You get to the head of the line, they say, you're next. How do you want to be introduced to God? I'm a doctor. Come back when you know who you are. I'm a mother. Come back when you know who you are. Tell God his child is here. Come on in. And one high school student said, tell God his replacement is here. And I thought, God's going to pull him right in. You know, that kid's got a sense of humor. But he answered that to me when I was talking to the high school students. And I thought, there's a kid who's loved. You know, if he could come up with an answer like that, he's got loving parents with a sense of humor. So remember, you're here for a limited time and enjoy your lifetime.
Thank you, Bernie. You're just a wonderful gift to the world. Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope everybody enjoyed. I know I did. I'm going to have to watch this interview a few times to let it all soak in.
And what you see in others is within you. When you call me a gift, you're a gift.
Thank you.
And when you're critical of me, I'd say look within yourself. You know, we could even say our current election process. You know, what gets me, you see, is when Donald Trump sees what's wrong in everybody else, it's easier to project it onto others than accept what's within you. You know, Mother Teresa didn't have a problem with everybody. She taught me a lot. As I said, Helen Keller didn't feel God punished her and ended up graduating from college being blind and deaf. So these are the people who become my teachers. And I'd say, become a love warrior. I promise this is my last comment. If you become a love warrior, so you use love as your weapon. What if Trump was telling everybody, I love you? Not I'm going to build a wall, but I'm going to open the doors and we'll become family. I love you. Then people don't know what to do with you. I mean it.
Yeah.
I've used this in my life. I say to people who are mad at hell at me, I love you. What do I do now? See, there's nothing to yell at. And you look for life coaches. And that's what you're helping people with, whether it's me or you. If we have some wisdom we can share, we can coach and guide them. And so we can be critical, but it's to improve them. You know, it's not saying you're a dumbbell, you never do anything right. It's, come here, there's a better way of doing things. And if you want to find a good doctor, ask the doctor, are you criticized by patients, family, and nurses? And the best ones say yes, because they learn from their errors. Yeah. Okay, I promise.
No, you are perfect the way you are, and I love oneness, and I love you, and that's just how
thank
I live
you.
My life. So thank you for sharing that message today. It's really important. You know, I share the same beliefs as you, and it's everything you've said has been powerful. I am looking forward to doing this hopefully again in the future.
Thanks.
And I hope everyone enjoyed today. Thank you for watching.
We do it again in the future. Remind me to talk about my birth and really the first few months and years of my life, because they had a lot to do with who I became.
Yes. Well, I'll call you again in a couple of months. We'll get it going.
Because all that's stored in us. You know, organ transplants prove this for those who think this is crazy, but you can transplant organs and the memories go with them. We can share those things.
Yes. You are just pouring
thanks.
All this wisdom. So thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
It's a good day already.
Yes. Continue.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.